I have the privilege of introducing our commencement speaker tonight, my good friend John Rivers. I'll do part of it formally and part of it informally. Last week, John got to introduce me using three words, and I'm going to do the same to you tonight. I thought that was pretty creative. Formally, retiring as president of a $1.5 billion company, John Rivers left a career of 20 years in healthcare to follow a lifelong dream of running a restaurant. In 2009, John opened his first concept, Four River Smokehouse, which quickly became one of the fastest-growing restaurants in the Southeast. With 13 locations in Florida and one in Atlanta, the success and popularity of his Four River Smokehouse and his second concept, the Southern-inspired Coop, have garnered national recognition. Much too much to read, but I'll give you a few of them. Four Rivers was named one of the top five breakout brands. John was named one of the Power 20 leaders in the restaurant industry. He's cooked twice at the James Beard House up in New York, and for those foodies, that's as high a privilege as you can have. He's also cooked for the last 6 years at the Food Network South Beach and Wine Food Festival, as well as the Atlantas. John's been recognized in all kinds of print. He authored his own first book, The Southern Cowboy Cookbook, and he currently enjoys space on the shelves of Publix, Fresh Market, and distributed by Sysco and Aramark. A graduate of Florida State University College of Business, where he serves on the Board of Governors, John chairs the 4-Hour Foundation and serves on the boards of numerous school, church, and charity organizations. He is co-founder of 2 annual charity festivals, Cows and Cabs in Winter Park and Pink and Swine in Tallahassee, and lives in Winter Park with his wife, Monica, and 2 Geneva graduates, Jared and Cameron. Now, the three words. So John hit me with these three words last week of mine, and I thought, wow, I wonder if I introduced John what I would say. And three popped into mind immediately, and over the last week I haven't been able to change them. The first is compassion. John started his barbecue ministry when he was helping a young girl who had cancer. And the parents were too proud to accept money, so John said, well, can I throw a barbecue and help pay off the medical bills? He did that, and I don't know that he knew, but there was an enormous crowd that showed up for that, and he was able to serve them all, pay off her medical bills, and actually later in the process was able to do it again. But he carries that compassion over into his business. I've seen John just get more excited about the successes of the 14 restaurants by just giving people jobs. People that are down and out sometimes need a place, a family, a home, and he has rebuilt people through Four Rivers. And then the third thing is tithing. I don't know of any other company, truly any other company, that tithes to the penny. And John gets more of a kick out of this than any part of his business, and that's giving back to the community and the different charities. The second word I came up with was faithful. John is faithful. He leads a life walking with God. I've got a plaque on my desk that John gave me that says, "Seek me," to remind me throughout the day to look for God and invite him to be a part of my life. He does that without fail, without effort. He's also very faithful to his family, his beautiful wife Monica, and his 2 kids. It's just so much fun to see him in a room with them. And then lastly, his business. It's very unique to see CEOs these days that are as faithful to their employees and their customers as they are to their investors. But John balances all of that in a beautiful way. And then the third word is strength. You know, when John walks into a room, and I know you all know him very well, he's got this bright, charismatic smile that lights up the room. But underneath that smile, there is strength. He's quiet. Thank goodness we have him mic'd today so that we can hear him. But he's got this goofy giggle, too. And that also lights up the room. But don't let the fact that he smiles a lot and he's quiet take away from the fact that he's strong. I've seen John in some situations where people have maybe come on a little bit too far. And I've never seen John lose his temper, but I've seen that look in his face where he says, that's far enough. So here's a man in our community that has compassion, is faithful, and he's strong. And I can't let this pass. Last night, our first reading at Baccalaureate was out of Genesis, and it said, a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. But Mike Malone pointed out in his homily that from a garden, through a garden, to a garden. God is working through this man to build his kingdom, and I appreciate being able to call him friend.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Thank you, John. That is very kind. I've asked to come to speak on this podium today, because obviously this is where all the cool guys get to speak. And the other cool guys over there, too. Sorry, John. But I want to speak to you, graduating class of 2018. First of all, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here. Headmaster Ingram, faculty, staff, Board of Governors, and especially you guys. This is for your day. You've accomplished it. You've grown. You have so much behind you that's going to so much define what's ahead of you. And I couldn't be more happier for you. And I've had the opportunity recently to speak at my high school graduation, and I've had the opportunity to speak recently at my college graduation. Both were very special, but I do want to say that today is exceptionally special because so many of you here today poured into my children. You poured in your love, and you defined the wonderful young man and young woman that they are today, and I very much give you, all of you, that credit. So thank you for doing that. I was speaking with my daughter, just to tell you a story, yesterday. She's over in Ireland on a mission trip with crew, and I told her about how excited I am, and she said, what are you most excited about? I said, well, I get to wear my robes again today. And she says to me, Dad, you know, people your age typically, when they're in robes in the middle of the afternoon, that means they've given up. For those who know my daughter, you appreciate that. I thanked her for bursting my bubble. If I may, before I get into this, I'd love to share with you a writing by C.S. Lewis, who I imagine many of you know in this room. And if you don't, parents, it's not too late to get a refund. This is a reading that I gave in 2009 at the new parent orientation session that I had. And it still stands true today. It's called Recognizing a Christian Believer. And if you forgive me, I've changed it to Recognizing a Geneva Graduate. The thing has happened. The new step has been taken and is being taken. Already the new men and women are dotted here and there all over the world. Some are hardly recognizable, but others can be recognized. Even now and then, when one meets them, their voices and their faces are different, stronger, quieter, happier, more radiant. They are, I say, recognizable, but you must know what to look for. They will not be like the idea of religious students that you have formed in your reading. They do not draw attention to themselves. They tend to think that you are being kind to them when they are really being kind to you. They love you more than others, but they need you less. They usually seem to have a lot more time on their hands. You will wonder where this peace comes from. Once you have recognized one of them, you will recognize the next more easily. And I strongly suspect, but how should I know, that they recognize one another immediately and infallibly, across every barrier of color, sex, class, and age. And that way, to become Genevian is rather like joining a secret society. To put it at the very least, it must be great fun. I would love the opportunity to say one thing to you that would to stick, one thing that would to inspire you, one thing to give you hope for your future, one thing to motivate you as you walk out of here. So very much lies ahead of you. I often use the analogy that there is a reason that your windshield is much bigger than your rearview mirror. Everything you have accomplished, everything you pass, is building you up and getting you ready to go into the future. And if there is something that is so important, is to realize and truly embrace that God has given each and every one of you a specific gift. Okay? Your gift is different from yours. Yours is different from yours. And what's neat about that is the one thing that he's given you is going to allow you to be special. It's going to allow you to be incredible at that one thing. And it talks about it in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Some of you are going to be apostles. Some of you are going to be ministers. Some of you are going to be healers. You know, that's a predestined gift that he's given to you. And what I would encourage you is that with that gift, you have the ability to be great. And what I'd also encourage you, there's nobody who can stop you from being great at that except yourself. I would encourage you to go out and discover what that passion is, that thing that God has put in your heart. You see, since that purpose is from him, it's only with him that you can be great at it. It's that gift that he's giving you. Discovering God means finding out what your passion is. Experiencing God means living it with him by your side, walking with him side by side. And let me assure you, you know, that happiness, that success comes when you are living in your passion, when you're living what you were intended to be. And so many of us will go out and we mistakenly think that happiness will come when we are making more money. Let me assure you of one thing. You know, happiness does not come from making more money. It comes when you are living the purpose that you were intended to be doing. You are doing it, your passion aligns with your actions, and your actions align with God's intent and word. That's when true happiness comes. There's going to be three things that when you walk out, you're going to find, you'll find in a career. Okay? That first thing, the reason that you're doing what you're doing is because you're working towards something. You're going toward a higher goal that you're studying for and you're working to achieve. Okay? The second thing is you're doing something that you're passionate about, that you believe in the cause, that you believe in the people that you're working for or the purpose of the company. The third thing that you reason that you go to work is because you're getting paid. Okay? You're making an occupation. You're supporting yourself. Now, many people in this room will attest there are different seasons that you go through in life. And sometimes you'll find yourself so blessed that you have all three happening at the same time. But most of them, that's a great season. Hold on to that. Because most of the time, it might not be like that. Sometimes you'll find yourself with two. Sometimes you may even find yourself with one. And let me tell you this firsthand, if you find that the reason that you're doing something day to day has nothing to do about growing and progressing, and it has nothing to do with something that you're passionate and you believe in, but if when you find yourself in a position that the only reason you're doing because of what you're doing is for the money, okay, I don't care how much money it is, it will be an incredibly long day. And there will be a hole in your heart that can never be filled just with that. If you're going to give up one of the three, please follow that passion, because when you do that, the money doesn't matter whatsoever. So many of us, we strike out in this world out there pursuing a passion. And let me challenge you, please don't settle for a paycheck. Go out there and make a life for yourself and never, ever settle for just making a living. Life is too short. I learned a few lessons a long time ago that if you're not doing something you're passionate about, bring passion into what you're doing. You want to change your environment. You want to change the continents of everything and everybody around you. Be that radiant light that God has intended you to be. Once you lift up your spirits and your outlook, it's amazing how you will change the outlook in everybody around you. I often tell people when they're in a terrible job that they hate, and they say, how do I get out of it, Mr. Rivers? I said, be the best at it you can. Be the best at it no matter what it is. And I'll tell you what, that is one way to change everything around you. That passion that you have is given to you from God, and you may forget about it in life. Now, I love going back and asking little kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you know what? I hear beautiful things. I hear teacher a lot. I want to be a teacher. You know, I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a president. I want to be a football player, basketball player. You know what's beautiful about that? Nobody has told them what they can't do yet. Nobody has told them you're not smart enough. Nobody has told them that you're not fast enough. You're not handsome enough. You're not cute enough. You can't do that. You'll fail at it. You know, so much of the story you believe, will determine the life you live. Okay? And if you have that faith in what God has put in you, that greatness that he has destined for you, you will become that greatness. How you see yourself, and nothing else, how you see yourself will define the life you live. And I talk to so many different men and women about what their careers are and what they're doing and how unhappy they are. And I always ask them, and what would you like to be doing? And you hear those things that they say, you know, and it's beautiful what they say. And I ask them the same question that I challenged myself with 10 years ago, okay, when I was only having number one. I was just making the money and I wasn't missing the other two pieces. And I asked them that question, why don't you go do it? And the answer I hear was the same answer I gave those 10 years ago. Oh, I'm too old. I'm far in my career. I have a mortgage, okay? I have kids in school. I have a car payment that I have to make. You know, oh, 8 out of 10 restaurants fail. I could never do that. It's too late in my life. You know what the underlying pinning of all of that is? Fear. Fear is a tangible weapon the enemy uses to keep us away from what we are intended and what we are built to be by God. 2 Timothy 1:7 said, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of courage and patience and perseverance." And you know what the onset of fear is? It's worry. You know what the onset of worry is? It's doubt. And when you start listening to those lies that cause doubt that you're not strong enough or smart enough or that you will fail at this, you know, stop them and pray and call them out. And say, no, God made me to be amazing. God made me to be fantastic. God allowed me to do what I can to move mountains if I have that faith to do so. Now, we'll go in different careers. And when I grew up, I wanted to own a restaurant. And it wasn't in our family. I promise you that. We had a bunch of doctors and lawyers and all that boring kind of stuff. You know, we didn't have anybody that was even close to the restaurant industry. But for some reason, it was in my heart. We go down different paths and we tend to forget what that passion is and we tend to live our life around it, but it never goes away. And sometimes it takes something to call and to wake us up. And as John mentioned, mine truly was a call. It was back in 2005 and I'm sitting at my desk and on my desk is a phone and that phone had two lines. It had a direct line that only 4 or 5 people knew and it had a major line that all went through my assistant. I'll never forget that afternoon, it was a Friday, that direct line rang, and I picked it up fully anticipating to speak to 4 or 5 people that I knew, and it wasn't them. It was a lady on the other end, and she was crying, and I'll never forget the words. She says, Mr. Rivers, I'm so sorry to hear about your daughter. And I said, what's happened? What's wrong with Cameron? She was in kindergarten at the time, and she said, well, her tumor. She says, her terminal brain tumor. I remember I hung up the phone with her, and it took me about 20 minutes to get a hold of Monica. Okay, those 20 minutes changed my life. Here's the great irony. Okay, never ever before had I had any appreciation for what it must be like to be a parent or even a loved one going through something that you have somebody that's going through something so terminal. You know what? You know, it didn't matter how much money we had. It didn't matter how much power we had. It didn't matter how people worked for us or any of that. You know, when money can solve the problem, you haven't faced a true problem. When you face something that none of that matters, all you have left is faith. And you know that old saying that sometimes you have to get to a point where all you have left is Jesus to realize that all you need is Jesus. And sometimes he brings us to that point just to show us his love and his glory. And we, it's so funny how we complain about those times. And I learned a lesson a long time ago. And when you're in the midst of those turmoils and those tragedies that you're facing, you know, the easy question to ask is, God, why are you doing this to me? What I'd encourage you to ask is, God, what are you trying to show me? And it's amazing how it'll change your perspective on it. And never, ever, ever doubt that the reason that things are happening to you aren't designed and they aren't for a reason. It was 19th century theologian Kierkegaard who said we live our life moving forward, but we tend to understand our life when we look back. And just always look at those situations and find God in them. I got a hold of Monica. And thank goodness, thank God, it wasn't Cameron. But those 20 minutes, that little bit of insight shook me up so much. I remember telling her, I said, we're going to find this family. And it took us a couple weeks. Now get this, this beautiful little girl, her name was Megan. We found her. Megan wasn't in Cameron's class. Megan didn't go to the same school. She didn't go to Geneva. We didn't go to the same church. We didn't live in the same neighborhood. We didn't live in the same cities, okay? There was no reason that that phone call came to my desk on my private line that day, okay? But that phone call changed my entire trajectory of my life. You want to know something really amazing? To this day, what, 13 years later, okay, we still don't know who the phone call came from. Never before did anybody say this was me that called. And as many times as we've told this story, it's never been identified. But that call, I know in my heart it was on purpose because it changed where we went. So we poured into this wonderful little family for the first couple of weeks. And we gave them free drugs and indigent care. We lined them up with stuff like that. Then one day I woke up and I realized they don't need more drugs. They don't need more nurses and pharmacists. They need money. So I remember calling the father. His name was John. I said, hey, John, let me write you a check. And he wouldn't take the money, argued back and forth, hung up the phone. And that was the first time I felt a tangible push from God. Okay. And that push was so clear, and it was simply, you pick up that phone, you don't give up, you trust me. And people ask me, what did it sound like? What did it feel like? You know, it wasn't a booming voice. It wasn't clarity in it. You know, it was a stir of my heart. The word heart is used 892 times in the Bible, third only to God and to Lord, for a reason. When we align our hearts to God's word, he speaks to us, he stirs us, he stirs our emotions. I picked up the phone and I called John back, and I didn't know what I was going to say. I was making it up on the spot. And I said, hey, John, it's me again. He says, yeah, I know, I just told you no. I said, hey, let me host a barbecue for you at your church, and you invite anybody you like to. I'll cook for it, and you donate all the food, and all the money we raise will go for little Megan. So he called his wife and called me back, said, absolutely, that's beautiful. We'd be happy to. However, it needs to be 10 days from now because little Megan's going to start her next chemo round after that. Oh, no problem. I got an egg in my backyard. You know, I got my little grill. I'll be happy to do whatever you want. 450 people RSVP'd for this event, okay? We didn't have the equipment. We didn't have the know-how. We had no clue what we were doing. Now, you know, you think that's disaster, right? No, that's the situation God created to reveal himself. That's when he showed up. And I tell you, it was amazing. People and equipment and refrigeration stuff just started showing up. One day, Monica calls me up at work. She says, you better get home. And I said, what for? Oh, you'll see. So I drive home, and I'm pulling into the driveway, and I screech on the brakes. In the driveway was this huge smoker from here to the end of that table on one of these trailers, and it had a sticky note on it. And it said, hey, John, heard you might need this. Call me when you're done. It was amazing. Okay. 10 days went by. We fed those 450 people. We raised lots of money for this beautiful little girl, and nobody got sick in the process of it. You know, and I remember that night, I was lying on the ground. I was just out cold. And Monica comes over, and she said, how you doing? I was like, I feel great. I feel like you don't look alive. No, I feel amazing. I want to do this, is what I said to her. And she says, do what? And I couldn't articulate it at the time, but you know what it was? It was that passion I had when I was a little kid. It never went away. I want to cook for people. I want to cook, and I want to serve people with it. When your actions align with your purpose and your passion, and you do it for the right reason, there's life. You come alive from that. From that moment forward, for the next 4 years out of our garage, anytime kids or schools or churches would call and need money, we say, absolutely, sure, you know, we'll help you out if we can. We'll write you a check. But, hey, I got a smoker. You let me to bring it out, and I'll cook for you. And we did it for 4 years, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And Monica says, you're just doing this, you get bigger smokers year after year after year after year. That last year, I had already retired. You know why I retired from my position? Because my heart wasn't in it. When I would work Monday through Friday, I was running the company. But when Saturday, Sunday came, I was running the ministry, and man, I was alive. That was life. And that disparity became so great. I couldn't, in honesty, continue in my job. I felt like I was stealing from the company. So that last year in the garage, we served over 40,000 people. Okay? And did anybody here ever go to our first little store in Winter Park? Oh, God bless you. You parked in one of 11 parking spots. Thank you. That are my neighbors. One of the two. That little place wasn't supposed to be a restaurant. That little place was supposed to be a commissary we could run the ministry out of. And we went in to build this thing in 2009, and I'd built pharmacies all over the country and launched drugs all over the world. How hard is it going to be to build an 1,100-square-foot little restaurant, right? A little commissary. I had no clue what I was getting. You know why I didn't? This is important. When you start stepping into your purpose, you'd be better really ready to fight. The enemy doesn't want you there. He does not want you to be successful at the reason why God intended you to be created and be out there. Because you know why? Because you're going to impact more lives than you ever will before, ever, ever. And everything back then in 2009 came crashing down. I can't share the whole story now, but I will tell you this. That thing was supposed to cost $188,000 to build. It was supposed to take 3.5 months to build. 6.5 months later, over $500,000 of our capital into this thing. God bless him, my contractor walked off the job. Okay. I'm at an absolute standstill, and you guys might not remember it, but some of y'all might, back in 2009, the economic climate, okay? We were at the height of the recession. All the money that we had from retirement, we put into mutuals that were down 60%. We built this great, big, beautiful house in Winter Park. We hate debt, so we put a lot of money into it. We were upside down the day we moved in it. Right? For the first time in 20 years of our marriage, we were down to 60 days of cash left in the bank. And that was it. That was it. And we didn't know how to get out of this. I didn't know how to fix this situation. And I almost gave up. I almost gave up. I got a job offer to be a CEO of a company. And it was a great temptation. And we prayed about it. And I'm always thankful for the faith and strength of Monica, my wife, because she stood by me. She stood by me when we prayed. And she said, John, if you really believe this is what God wants you to be doing, says, I'll stand by you even if we lose everything. And I'll tell you, when you start down that path and you're going to conquer those worlds, choose your partner well. Choose somebody who's got I challenge you, choose someone who's got a stronger faith than you. Because you will, the bigger that mountain is, you're going to need that faith by your side. Okay. I said no to this offer. Okay. Two things happened. Okay, two things happened within a week of saying no to this offer. Okay. The first thing, I got a phone call from a buddy of mine. Okay. He's up at a Bible study up in Longwood. There's a guy who lives in Maitland who has a fetish for this coffee place in Winter Park. Gets his coffee, goes down Fairbanks to I-4 every Tuesday morning. He goes to the Bible study this particular Tuesday morning, and he's all shaken up. And my buddy says, you know, Brad, what's wrong? What happened? He says, I don't know how to explain. He says, I was going by this construction site on Fairbanks this morning on the way to I-4, and I felt God talk to me and tell me that, you know, this guy who's building this thing, this construction project's in trouble, and that I'm supposed to help him? My buddy who's running the Bible says this guy's in big trouble. He doesn't know what he's doing. He needs lots of help. This guy's, the guy's name was Brad Watkins. Brad Watkins owned a construction company called Friedrich Watkins. Friedrich Watkins had two clients in Orlando, Disney and SeaWorld. Friedrich Watkins got me to opening, to CO into opening. You ready for this? 59 of the 60 days before we ran out of cash. Second phone call came a week later. We're coming back from the beach. We're on I-4. And I remember, never forget, the kids are in the back seat. And I look down at the phone, and there's a message from a 404 phone number. And I remember saying to Monica, I said, who's calling us from Atlanta? And I pushed the button, and the Bluetooth was on, so everybody heard it. And this message, Mr. Rivers, he said, this is Dan Cathy. He says, I work for Chick-fil-A. I'm like, you don't work for Chick-fil-A. You own Chick-fil-A. He says, I just had your brisket. You're like, that's the best thing I've ever had. And I felt God tell me I'm supposed to reach out to you and help you. You know, I guess if you're Dan Cathy, you can find out who anybody is and get their phone number, right? Okay, he gave me his home number, his cell number, his assistant's number. He poured in my, and you want to know how he got the brisket? in Hathasos. Okay, friends of his were down in town that weekend. They went to a ministry event that we did. They had leftover brisket. They were going back up to Atlanta to a dinner party that they were running late for. They couldn't have time to cook, so they took the brisket, put it in the microwave, put it on the table, and that's where Dan and Rhonda had it. You can't plan this stuff, folks. I'm telling you, that's when you know God is behind it. What do you think he gave me? I was down in my luck. I was down to my last pennies. He gave me the most valuable thing and taught me one of the most valuable lessons. His dad said, there's three things you can give people: your time, your talents, and your resources. You want to get them off your doorstep the fastest? You write them a check. You want to show them love and pour into their life? You share your time and your experience. He gave me encouragement. He gave me confidence. When I was at my wit's end, he poured into my life, and he got me to an opening point. And I tell you what, don't you ever, ever, ever underestimate the value of your words to somebody. Don't you ever, ever underestimate the impact you can make just by coming along somebody and lifting them up. I'll flash forward to the opening now. It was the opening week. I remember asking Dan, we were running out of money quickly. Dan, what should we be doing in revenue in this little 1,100 square foot place? He says, oh, 1,100 square feet barbecue. He said, you do $1,500 a day, you'd be doing market average. He says, you do $2,000 a day, you'd be doing fantastic. It was October 26 in 2009. We were down to one day of cash. All the equipment we had was used, and it was broken. There were only 12 employees. I was a carver. Monica was on the POS. We didn't have any money to advertise. We couldn't promote. We couldn't do any of that thing. All we could do was pray and unlock the doors. And that's when it started. We unlocked the doors at 11 o'clock that morning. And at first, it was friends and family that came in that knew what we were going through. And then after that, it was all the wonderful people that we had served in our ministry over the years, which was such an important marketing lesson that we learned. And the third after that, it was people we didn't know who they were. And they came in, and they came in, and that line didn't stop, and it went around the building. We were so flat-footed, we had no idea what to expect that day. We closed that first day in 2009 at $3,500 in sales. That serves to this day our lowest day we've ever had in sales as a company, coming on 9 years. That first year at that little teeny place, we closed as an average of over $12,000 a day in sales. Okay. And why? Why is the greatest blessing? I always say when you do something you're good at, you can take credit for it. When you write a great strategy, you might be tempted to take the credit for that. But when something that is so exceptional outside of the realm, you can't give any credit except for one person, that's God. And the reason that we are continuing to be successful today is, I'm convinced, because we keep God in the center of our business. And my prayer is that each and every single person that works for us never, ever looks at it that they're selling or serving just a brisket sandwich. Every brisket sandwich they serve, they are changing somebody's life. And I try to teach them the power of impact. You don't have to move halfway around the world to be significant in this life. I would challenge each and every one of you, just pour into the people that God puts in front of you. Even that kind word, that lift up, that confidence you give them, you never know how that can change their life and how that could change the world. I will close and leave you with this. It was a quote that Nelson Mandela quoted at his acceptance speech. He said, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure and capable of doing all that we are called to do. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us the most. I pray each and every one of you, you listen to that word, you listen to that stir. I pray that you have that confidence to take that step and to trust God. And I pray that you always do everything you can to have an impact on everybody around you, because it will change the world. Congratulations, class of 2008. God bless you.